KHOI, Ames Community Radio, KHOI. Trey Moore here with another episode of Ames Untold. A spiritual, eye-opening, pulling the wool from over your eyes trip to the motherland. A trip to Morocco changed an ISU student's life forever. It changed their perspective on the world. It changed them spiritually. It changed just how they would go about their life from now on. We have an interview with a student named Julius who went to Morocco and said it changed his whole viewpoint on the world. Let's get into it.
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
You know, what made you decide to take this trip to the motherland, specifically Morocco?
Well, I've always just wanted a good excuse to go. I know that, like, with the scholarships that I had the opportunity to be able to go and, like, have my money transfer over to another school in another country. But, like, most of my options seem really limited. Like, I remember, like, people were trying to talk me out of going to Africa, like, for whatever reason. Like, oh, like, it's not safe. Like, you better watch out. Like, why don't you just, like, study Arabic in, like, France or in Britain or whatever when they don't even, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just weird. But yeah, I'm a linguistics student. I study French. I study Arabic. And Morocco happens to speak both of them. So, like, I could take classes. I had the money to go. Like, everything just, like, lined up for me. I'm really blessed to have the opportunity. Alhamdulillah. And yeah, it was just, like, it's cool. It just lined up for me. I'd always wanted to go to Africa. And, like, yeah, so I did it. I was supposed to check with my advisor, and I didn't. Because, like, the deadline was, like, before the day she said we could meet. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go anyway. It kind of worked out. Like, a lot of my credits transferred over. It was pretty dope. So, yeah, I just had the opportunity and took it. That was basically it.
And so preparing to go for the trip, what was your process on how you got your mental prepared? I guess what were the beginning stages of getting yourself together and getting on the plane? And what was all that initial experience like from getting yourself together and landing your first day over there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty funny. I remember, okay, so I was working with the Boys and Girls Club, in, like, the North Omaha area, shout out North O. I was working at the King Science Middle School, and I remember there was this Earth Gang song that came out, and it was like, I remember I would be going to work, like, basically the thing that was getting me through the summer was knowing I was gonna be going to Africa later. So I was, like, on my grind, like, working, like, you know, like, I mean, they were just, like, 6-hour shifts, whatever, but it was still, like, it just kind of felt like a grind knowing that, like, Morocco was on the other side of that. I don't know. I was just like, and then this song came on, and it was like something like whipping through the hood on my way to Dubai, and I was talking about just like flying off, like going from like where you came from, where your family came from, to like going to like other countries and like going to Africa and stuff. So I just thought about that a lot, and I was like, damn, just thinking about everything coming full circle, like my ancestors coming, however they got here, probably not voluntarily, maybe voluntarily, who knows, from Africa to America, and then like my family going through what we went through, like growing up the way I was raised, and then coming back with privilege now, that was just on my mind a lot. And then the first day, when I landed, I was like, I don't know, I just expected like a homecoming feeling, like, and it kind of was that, but literally like step out the airport and it's like a parking lot where like the taxis and like the vans and stuff like take you to your hotel, and like there was this kid, this little Moroccan dude wearing a shirt with a Confederate flag on it, literally after like after 24 hours straight of traveling, like no sleep. The first thing I see is this kid in a Confederate flag shirt. I was like, whoa, what, where am I? Like, am I on the wrong plane? Like, what happened? It was just funny. I was like, days before I left, and then that was like my first day when I got there. People over there seem to like Southern culture, I think. I don't know if they get the context of the flag, but people like Southern accents and like country and stuff. It was interesting. Like country blues, stuff like that. They like bump that all the time in like bars and stuff. It's like, it was interesting, yeah.
You said Americans and Moroccans,
yeah,
vibe pretty well. Could you get into that whole thing?
Yeah, basically, like, to other, like, European countries, like, people usually think of us as being, like, some of the most friendly. And, like, I think, like, Morocco also has such a big representation for just being, like, such a big, like, reputation for being, like, outgoing and being, like, is really hospitable. But it's also just like the little things, like they have, most of Morocco's like indigenous, right? Like they're not even like Arab, but like they have these experiences that a lot of Black Americans go through specifically, where like their culture and like their language is seen as like kind of less than. Like you can't talk that way to your teachers, you can't talk that way to like people at job interviews, even if they are from where you're from. You cannot talk that way in those situations. Like you gotta like speak French or speak like fancy Arabic. Like they're, and then like cornrows, and like they wear like locks and twists and stuff like that. Like their hair styles are considered like less than, their clothing are considered less than, and they like go through that, and when they find somebody who like is a foreigner and comes through and like appreciates their culture and like sees past like these like colonial things that have been put on their culture, like it's just like that's when like I feel like Black Americans and like Moroccans just vibe so well. Like, and then let alone that, like when we were talking earlier, like Moroccans dap each other up and like do some of the same exact handshakes that people in America do, like old people, like it doesn't matter who it is, like everybody, it was crazy to me. Like they're your cousins, but they're not really your cousins, you know, like they do stuff like that over there, and that was just crazy. It's just little stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you have any people that you met over there that good stories about some of the dope Moroccan people that you met over there?
Well, yeah, like, I feel like one of the most notable ones was like the one time I met someone that knew you personally. That was crazy. I'm still kind of getting over that. Like, yeah, I met somebody that knew Trey when I went to Morocco, like my first like couple months or whatever. I'd say one of my favorite, like just one, someone who's just like a complete character was, this dude that everybody called Sexy, like in English, like they'd be speaking Arabic, whatever, you hear like Sexy, Sexy, like what are you doing, bro? Hey, what's up, Sexy? Like, you're like, what? Like, who is this dude? Like, I kept hearing his name. I was like, who is this guy? And this dude, he's like 230, like 6'4", like has like that perfect, like he looks like he's straight out of like a Hollister ad or something. He's like the light skinned version of like a Hollister like model. And so, but he's so like super, super religious and super like pious and disciplined and all this. So, but his friends are like hood rats. Like they go do like hooligan and like, but he like tags along with them. So he's like over there, like he's like praying while there's like a prostitute, like all up on his friends. He's like, oh, yeah. But it was just like, I remember there was one scene in particular where we went to a bar, and like, so bars were illegal for Moroccans to go to for the time that like the French were colonizing like Morocco. So the French could go, but as far as I know, Moroccans couldn't go. So like, it's still kind of taboo for people to go there. And it's like taboo, and they got like, it's just really shady, like drug situations, like prostitution situations in some of the bars. Yeah, it's like a right, exactly. And so, but we brought our friend Sexy there, and it's like the smoky, like literally underground bar where it had like a speakeasy door, like you like open like the slide thing, and like they're like, hey, like what's the password, blah, blah, blah. And like, if you know somebody, you can come in, like that type. We went in, and like we're auto order, like I order like, you know, like whiskey on the rock, somebody orders like, you know, a bourbon or whatever. Sexy just gets an ice cream cone. He gets like, yeah, like ice cream with sprinkles. And then like yeah, that was the funniest thing to me. And that's just something that just shows a lot about the way, yeah, like discipline, like the way like spirituality is different over there. Like people who are really religious in Morocco versus here, like have, like they just get so much respect, because like it's so much like their religion, like Islam has a lot of daily practices and like daily reminders with like dhikr and hijab and like different things to remind yourself of like what your place is in the world in reference to like spiritual forces and stuff like that. And people who just do it, it's hard, man. It's really hard, like praying it like 5 times a day. And like I tried it a couple times, like I'm not Muslim myself, but I just wanted to kind of try to like get into the mindset. Yeah, over there, just it's just like they just walk with like this confidence, and this, you can just feel the, I don't, it's hard to describe. Like, it's not like, because people who are really religious over here do not have the same, it's not the same aura, it's just not the same. It's kind of hard to explain. Yeah. Modesty, yeah. Yeah, modesty was really interesting. I heard there's some Moroccan women who, no, not Moroccan women, actually. I'm lying on myself. No, it was like some American women that were hijabi that came with me, that were like in like the program. And we were all like having this conversation about like modesty versus like, you know, just like wearing like whatever you want, quote unquote. And like, cause people have this idea that women wear hijab because they're like oppressed or like pressured into doing it, or like they're told to do it, or like, this is what good women do, is they do this. And it's like a lot of, and like, it was these American hijabi women specifically, shout out Misha, shout out Imani as well, if y'all are listening. Like specifically what they told me and other Moroccan women told me is that the way they see it in America is they feel like American patriarchy is telling women to take their clothes off. So like it's almost like it's like the other way around. Like they feel like we feel like their men are making them wear clothes. Well, like they're over there like wow, like their women are so oppressed. Like they have to wear like booty shorts, yoga pants, and stuff like that. Which was just really interesting to me. Really, just like just totally shifted my perspective. Their feminism is different because their patriarchy is different. Also, colonialism brought them. It didn't bring them feminism. It brought them another patriarchy to fight against. So now they're going against like the one they had at home and the European one that the Spanish and the French brought to them. And like one way that women take control of that, the way that women have explained to me this like Western like patriarchal idea to like try and just, you know, just get all your clothes off and like to try and get you to wear like, well, like wear bikinis, like it's good, like you're a free woman. And I feel like there's nothing wrong with either. I feel like women should be able to wear whatever you want. But I do feel like there's a weird like time where people are a little too encouraging to like get women to take their clothes off. You feel me? Like, oh yeah, like you should like not wear a shirt. But, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I became a lot more neutral and more like less judgmental, realizing that like there are other ways to do things in like other ways of life. Like it seems so obvious, but like you just like, and we were talking about this earlier, like you can't know what you don't know. And like, so you just can't like, it's kind of hard to be judgmental because there's like just stuff that you don't know that's going on. I could talk about this all day, honestly, but yeah.
So can we get into the spiritual journey that you said you had while you were over there? Like how did this process begin? And I guess go through a 1, 2, 3, you know, however chronological order that this happened. Could you take us through that journey that you went through?
So I guess like I feel like I did grow a lot spiritually. I think just before, I guess step one, before I even got to Morocco, I was like learning a little bit about Islam, about the traditions, about the culture, because I was learning Arabic. And like one thing that just shows again, like how much practice there is in Islam is like the Arabic language has Islam in it. Like you can't speak Arabic without knowing something about Islam. And so that was my first just interaction with it, was like, damn, like these people like walk the walk, like this is like their everyday type stuff. So that's kind of was my mindset, because it was always like, for me, like religion was always once a week, like on Sundays, you feel me? Like, I mean, I would pray every once in a while and then like go to church on Sunday, clean my act up, like blah, blah, blah. But so that was just where I was at before. The next step was realizing that like, so there's a saying, like a Muslim saying, it's in Arabic. It's like, inshallah, like inshallah. Yeah. Yeah. For those out there that don't know, it means like God willing, or like may God like allow this to happen. So like when people make plans, they will say inshallah, like I hope it works out, like because people, and it might be like a part of dhikr, or like remembering God's place over you. Like people are always conscious of the fact that they're not in control of everything. And I feel like it almost seems like it's more true over there too, though. Like the way that like nature is mixed in with the city, like it feels like let's say like you want to go like have fun, like you want to go surfing, but like it depends on how the weather is, how the waves are, like it depends on so many things that aren't in your control that are only up to like whatever you believe in, God, nature, or whatever. Like yeah, that's basically it, just realizing that we're not in control of everything. And I think coming back, step three, was realizing that there are so many people here that both just feel so much responsibility, like are so hard on themselves because they believe that like everything going wrong is because like they didn't do this or they didn't do that, or like you're late because, you know, you were irresponsible, versus like, I don't know, like other things. Like there's like, people don't make excuses for themselves. They're like, not make excuses, but like there's too much weight, I feel like, on our shoulders, and like there's more than there actually has to be. Like we're not in control of everything. We don't like there's like that saying, like man plans and God laughs, or whatever. It's like, that's kind of the attitude that I've kind of adopted from that. And the idea is like, things will work out. Like I feel more stressed out being here because like it feels like literally like if something has to go right, I have to do like this, this, and that, and a third. Like, but when I was in Morocco, the attitude was like, I do my part and then like God will like help me like figure it out too. And I just felt, I don't know, I felt way more forgiving towards myself, way more forgiving towards others, like when other people are late, or like when other people, like, I don't know. But it's a balance though. Like you can be too forgiving, you can be too like a little bit of a pushover, but it's like finding that balance and like that journey, like that was something that wasn't even a part of my mental like atmosphere before I went to Morocco.
We can close out on this question, and for those who haven't maybe urged them or influenced their thoughts on traveling abroad, and I guess let's be more specific and talk about traveling to Africa, since this is what your journey specifically has been. Is there anything you got something you want to tell them?
All right, yeah, I got something to say to all the white people out there. Like, real talk though, literally countries where 99% of the population isn't white are still safe. Africa is a very safe place to go. It's like any place, if you go to any big city, if you walk in through the hood at like 3 a.m., like, you just like, you're being stupid. It's like that, like Paris, I felt more unsafe in Paris than I did in Morocco when I was in the motherland. And then like, you will see, like, when you're there, when you see white people there, when you see other white people there, like, they will be so shook. Like, there will be smiles and people like offering you food and like places to like sleep and stuff like that. And like, people will be so scared, and it just like ruins your whole experience. People will be racist the whole time and like not learn anything, basically, and just be so scared. Places that are more highly melanated are still just as safe as any other place. And sometimes, well, never mind. I got something else for maybe another interview. Who knows?
I would like to thank Julius for coming through, man. This was a great interview.
Definitely.
He actually has inspired me to, for real, want to take a journey. And I've always wanted to take a journey, but hearing his personal account and his personal experiences, because like he said, you don't know what you don't know. I can watch a lot of videos, but hearing firsthand accounts is it's a different experience. And I definitely want to, you know, take my international travels and specifically travels to Africa. So, like, thank Julius for coming in.
Thank you.
One more time. This has been another episode of Aims Untold. Tune in next Friday.